Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. And so I trust that if there's one in this room tonight that's not saved, that you will look upon this meeting tonight as a very special gospel meeting. It could be the turning point in your life. It could be the decision that you make tonight as to whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. We sang that hymn at the beginning, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Oh, how I thought how nice it was that we sang a hymn at the beginning. It mentions the precious blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. J.P. Morgan, the great financier, his name is still known in Canada and the United States. He'd passed from this scene into eternity. J.P. Morgan was a believer and left no doubt as a great financier, he left a great estate behind. But you know, there was one thing he put in his will that was not put in many wills, that it was a paragraph put in his will that his children might value the precious blood of Christ. And dear young people, may you ever value the precious blood of Christ. And tonight, I'd like to just talk about two verses tonight. We want to be short and brief. I'm going to go to the well-known one in John 3:16. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Perhaps it's one of the first verses, I think it's one of the first verses I learned sitting on one of my parents' knees. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What divine love we see here. God so loved the world. God loves each one in this room tonight. He loves the most youngest child in this room tonight. We sometimes say this verse is the gospel in a nutshell. And many times it has been quoted to those who are perhaps dying and without hope, "for God so loved the world." D.L. Moody one time preached a series of gospel meetings, and every night he spoke in John 3:16, and someone asked him why. He said, "Why did you preach in John 3:16 every night?" And he said, "For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world." What more could God do but to love you and I and to give his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, one reason why I feel that the gospel is so necessary to go forth in the power of the Spirit of God, you know, I see some young people here, and I'm glad to see you all here, and I trust that you're all believers, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I was young just like you one time, and I remember going to a conference. A young fellow went with us in the car. We were just teenagers. It wasn't my parents' car. We had got a ride with somebody to go to a conference. And tonight, if you asked me whether that person is a believer, I'd have to say, I don't know. I don't know. He drove in the conference, to that conference in the car with me. He stayed in the same room, sat in the meetings. You asked me tonight, is he a believer? I have to say, I don't know. I don't know. His family is split up. He's addicted to alcohol. With dear friends, how important it is that we make a decision for Christ. Not something that our parents believe in, Not something that uncle and aunt believe in, but have you made it a personal decision for Christ? As a manager one time, we used to have to rate our employees every year, give them a rating as a developmental tool to show their strengths and weaknesses. And then I called a young man into my office, and of course this was perhaps one of the times when there was a demarcation between managers and employees, and perhaps manager didn't always look at it in the same light as the employee. The employee was perhaps very nervous coming into your office, so I tried to set him at ease, and I said, I want to be fair, I'm a Christian. And he looked at me and he said, you're a Christian? And I thought he was going to tell me something that I had done that wasn't very Christian-like. He looked at me and he said, you're a Christian? He said, my sister's a Christian. My sister's a Christian. He didn't say he was a Christian. He said, my sister. And so sometimes we may have a sister that's a Christian. We may have father and mother that are Christians. But have we truly made a personal decision for Christ? And so it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We mentioned the other night about the word believe in the gospel. Perhaps some here have seen the great Niagara Falls, how that water roars over the falls. And it's a little scary even to look down on those mighty waters that go over there. And yet they stretched a rope across that falls, and a man walked slowly across on that rope right across the falls. Hundreds looking on. And when he got to the other side, he said to someone standing there, he said, do you believe that I could take you back on my back? And the individual said, yes, I do. Well, he said, hop on. The person didn't hop on. Why? It was only a head belief. He wasn't willing to trust. He didn't want to put his trust in that person. Oh, yes, he said he believed. And so, you know, there's a danger of us saying, oh, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus. But are you willing to trust him for all eternity? Are you willing to own that you're a sinner by nature and by practice, that you need a Savior, and that you're willing to put your whole eternity on Christ? Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You're either tonight on your way to heaven. You either have the Son of God as your Savior or you don't. There's no in between. You know, sometimes we say, use expression, sitting on the fence. And we use that in perhaps in business. He sits on the fence. He can't make a decision. And in our line of work I was in, one of the important things we expected of an employee was that they could make a decision. We didn't want employees that couldn't make decisions. And tonight, he said, you have to decide one way or another. Or you can merely just neglect. And neglect is really saying no, isn't it? I'm going to tell you another little story. When our oldest child was born, we got a certificate in the mail and said if you went down to this store, presented a certificate, you got a gift. We fully intended, my wife and I, to go and get that gift. But we put it in the drawer in the meantime, and one day we decided we would go and get that gift. We looked at the coupon. The date had expired. We hadn't noticed that there was an expiry date. And do hear one tonight. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. The door of salvation may be closed tonight. The Lord may come. I believe there's four important things that we need to realize in the gospel. One is God's love, for God so loved the world. We need to realize that there's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to realize that there's judgment to come, and we also need to realize that the Lord may come, or will come. He said, surely I come quickly, and he may come tonight. I was at a graveside, at a funeral, and later a graveside service a while ago. It wasn't one in the assembly. It was a friend of my sister's, my late sister, and we'd gone to the funeral. And the one who spoke was a real believer. And he, at the graveside, he told a very touching story, because he hadn't always been a believer. When he was 15 years of age, he wasn't a believer. He had Christian parents. He knew that the Lord was going to come. And he said, if the Lord comes, he had some idea, if the Lord would come, he'd run to his mother. Oh, does the lot do any good? No. But he thought he had that idea. If the Lord were to come, he'd just run to his mother and she'd somehow help him. Well, you know, one day his father sent him out to the field on the farm to work, and was beside a graveyard next door to the farm field. And he had this idea that the Lord was going to come that day. And he didn't have a mother in the field to run to. And he was so sure. And yet he didn't know what to do. And he said he got up on the tongue of the wagon or the sleigh or whatever he was on. And he got up and he watched that graveyard. He knew that the dead in Christ would rise first. He knew all the things that we talk about in the meetings, that the Lord is coming. He knew that. He knew that the dead in Christ, those graves would open when the Lord come. He knew that. And he stood up there to see the graves open. Well, the Lord hasn't come tonight. But that man got saved. He realized that he needed a Savior, and that the Lord would come, he would be left behind. And so we cannot overemphasize, dear ones, that behold, now is the accepted time. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we know that verse so well, and yet it's a verse that we use so often. Tell another little story in connection with that verse. My wife was in the hospital a few years ago, and there was a woman in the same room, and they had moved her out because she was so sick. She was interrupting the other patients, and they moved her to another room, and I'd heard conversations that she didn't even know her own husband. That was how sick she was. Well, it came time my wife was to go home, and some kind people had given her some plants, and so I went in. I thought the night before I'll bring the plants home, so I had two plants in each arm, and I was walking down the hall by this woman's room, and to my amazement, she waved at me. She wasn't even supposed to know her own husband. She was so sick. You know, I think what happened, that God gave her another opportunity just before she was to be taken. She was taken within about another week of that date. Saw her death in the paper. But here I was, she waved at me, so I stepped into her room and I said, God loves you. And she said, I hope he does. I hope. What an awful position to be in your deathbed, just hoping that God loves you. And so I quoted John 3:16 to her. And I trust that God gave her that little opportunity to come. But dear ones, don't wait until that moment. Don't wait till that moment, because you may never get that moment. I knew a man very well. He came to Sunday school, one of Gordon Hill's mission, Hilton Avenue as we called it. He got a Bible for 4 years, perfect attendance. the Bible for 4 years, perfect attendance. He never missed a Sunday for 4 years. And then he started to run a service station. And one day, he got under the car, put a jack under the car, and the jack slipped, and he was in an eternity within seconds. But you know what was sad about that situation that I used to deal with there, and I never seen any evidence that that man had ever accepted Christ as a Savior. And he was going to give up the service station. And the last time I believe I spoke to him, I said, "Now, are you going to give up the service station? Maybe you'll be able to come to the gospel meeting." And he said, "Yes, I might do that." 1 week from that very date, he was in his casket. He never got the opportunity to come to another gospel meeting. And dear ones, let's decide for Christ tonight. Because he that has a son hath life, he that hath not a son hath not life. And so we would urge upon you, and I always feel it so urgent because of the fact, having grown up and rubbed shoulders in the meeting with boys and girls, and years later, the question arises, were they ever saved? We went to a wake a few months ago of a young lady who we rubbed shoulders with in a meeting. She married a man in the world. We trusted she was the Lord's. But don't leave it till you grow up. Accept Christ tonight. And I'm sure you'll never regret it. Never regret it. My father used to like to tell about a man who accepted Christ as his Savior. And I think it was 5 years later, someone met him and said, "How's it going?" He said, "It's getting better all the time." Come to Christ. Come to Christ tonight.